99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Stay tuned for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Hopping Oyster and Merry Underpass Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things here on this radio program. And you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. When you get up to glib.com, you will see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. And this is our 38th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded for obvious reasons, and we record it on Friday afternoon for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we're not going to reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do in these dangerous times. Our top news item of the week is... Oh, we're back down to 107 followers on Twitter. Oh, boy, the whole world has been talking about this. I think it affected the stock market, too. I don't know. Anyway, somebody dumped us. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, April 14th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. April 14th, that's the anniversary of the death of President Abraham Lincoln. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 129,998,978 on Friday, and global deaths reached 2,832,850. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 30,595,111, and the death toll in America had reached 553,946. So, 6,134 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. The death rate continues to trend lower, and that's good. We're under 10,000 dead in America for 1 week for the fourth week in a row, so that's an improvement. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures will be higher. Now, the thing is that the number of cases keeps going up and up, and healthcare professionals are saying you're looking at a big problem here. And in some places, not New York City, but in some other places, they're starting to see the numbers get rather too high for their hospitals again. And they keep talking about, we're going to get another wave here, folks, because everybody's opening things up. Obviously, everybody knows there's a pandemic. Everybody knows that basically 554,000 Americans are dead of this disease. And some people just discount that, don't think it means much of anything. I suppose if it were happening to them, they'd sure be screaming, but not for long. And so, yeah, people are opening up. Why? Well, here's an explanation.
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
So with things opening up, baseball has sort of started. This is the time of year. It's spring, and this is the time of year when baseball starts. And the Mets' entire opening series got canceled by players testing positive for COVID-19. So they say, yes, we're going to have another opening day for the Mets. Here we go. Oh, no, we're not. Of course, that probably means they just aren't going to lose these games. Yes. We have some things we do now and again for the opening time for baseball. And the following clip is from testimony at a congressional hearing years and years ago, but it may as well be the rationale for opening things up the way that they're being opened up these days.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's.
And north of the border, there are all sorts of things happening, and yeah, it isn't simply the Americans who are opening up and doing stuff that's not that bright.
Well, there's so many places that are doing this on every continent, basically, except for Australia. But I was just looking up some news about Canada, and I noticed in Quebec City, there's a gymnasium, and the guy who ran the gym was very upset during the whole pandemic of having to close and then, you know, have limited capacity. Well, his gymnasium is responsible for 141 cases of COVID-19 and 21 outbreaks in Quebec City. And now, not only is his gym shut, the whole city is shut down till April 12th. I mean, everything. Kids can't be in school. Restaurants are closed. I mean, it's shut down. It's a big lockdown because of this guy's, you know, they figured the numbers are doubling in Quebec City on a daily basis. So I know there are many good vaccines and people are getting vaccinated, but it really is not the time to be trying to be back to normal again, because this is not a normal situation. And quite frankly, I'm not sure when it's going to be normal again.
I guess none of us knows when it's going to be normal again, if ever. Who knows? With global warming and animals moving around and various vectors coming into closer contact, we may have permanent pandemics all over the place, and maybe this is the end of the human species. I don't want to spread that around. I don't want to have people say, back in the book says we're doomed. We're going to be all wiped out.
Just have a happy pandemic holiday, everyone.
Hopping Oyster and Pickles of the North and I continue our pandemic lifestyle. We're looking forward to mere weeks from now when Pickles should be as immune as possible and we can go out together for mere fun. We went out together for the newspaper this past week. Woohoo! This was more exercise than I've gotten in a year. It's been about 13 months since we went into WBAI to do a radio program. And as I said at the top of the program, this is our 38th pandemic episode. And so, oh boy, I haven't been walking that much. Prior to this, I went out for my flu shot and my two COVID shots. And we did public transportation, and there wasn't much walking at all in any of that. This time we were walking for blocks and blocks. We were out for about an hour. Yeah, my legs got tired from that. We didn't exactly move at a blistering pace, I'll tell you that. Anyway, it's a lot of exercise. And as I said, we prepare this radio program on Friday afternoon. And while we're preparing this radio program, word has come in that some guy has crashed into a barricade on the Senate side of the Capitol building, and two Capitol police officers were injured in the crash. And an official statement says that the driver of the car was shot after exiting the car and brandishing what appeared to be a knife. I don't know. Initial responses get, you know, people type things up fast. I don't know. Appears to be a knife. Is it a knife or not? He was shot by the police, and he later died of his injuries. The president had just left the White House for the weekend when all of this crap happened. So is this another Trump-supporting nutcase trying to do something here? Was this guy just arriving late for the January 6th insurrection? And the feds have arrested over 300 of these people by now. To break in here, late word is one of the cops that was hit by this guy has died. So The guy crashing into the barricade at the Capitol is dead, and one of the cops that was at the barricade is now dead too. So these are very serious things that are going on, and you got to think this is not just a totally perfectly random thing. You got to think this is related to the various right-wing things going on, including especially the crap that Trump pulled for all those 4 years. That is extremely, extremely bad stuff. On the last program, we talked about the cargo ship, the Ever Given. It's a Panama-flagged a container ship that holds 20,000 containers, and those containers are big things. People make houses out of those things. And it was wedged across the Suez Canal and blocking traffic in the waterway. At that time, the CEO of the Dutch company that was trying to free the ship from the Suez Canal, or free the Suez Canal of the ship, he issued a statement that said, quote, "We can't exclude it might take weeks, depending on the situation," unquote. Luckily, the Ever Given was dislodged this past Monday by efforts of tugboats, digging machines, and the high tides caused by an overnight full moon. So the 10% of the world's commerce that flows through the Suez Canal resumed oozing toward its destinations. And the question now is, how much of that stuff is going to be damaged or ruined by sitting out in the hot sun of Egypt, for Christ's sakes? It's not as if this is Norway they're parking in for 6 days. This is Egypt, and it's spring, and the sun is beating down. And as far as I know, those containers They aren't air-conditioned. They aren't refrigerated. Maybe some are. I don't know. But I think a lot of them are not. One person has brought up that one, at least one of those containers was filled with beer. And I don't know what else they may have had in there. But any food that was in there, anything that had to get to its destination pretty soon, had 6 days added to it. So I wonder what's going to go on now. I'm very glad that I didn't send away for anything that would have been going through there. Yeah, it raises the question, what's going to happen with perishables that were on that ship? And, of course, it's Hopping Oyster tomorrow, some people. What really happens, of course, is there are these spring festivals, because everybody likes to see spring. It isn't just me. And so, what is this you're going to tell us about, my dear?
Well, where does the word Easter come from? Well, we know what Easter celebrates. At least we know the religious aspect of Easter.
Well, for Christians, at least.
Yes. The thing is that celebrating this holiday, or holy day, depending on your point of view, actually comes from the Greek. And the word, I believe, is Pascua, which is Greek for Passover, which in Hebrew is Pesach. And in what are called the Romance languages, that's the name of that holiday. Not so in the English language, or I believe in the German language. Well, Easter has to do with Ostara, the word Easter. And I'm going to read you a little short passage from the new book of Goddesses and Heroines. By Patricia Monahan. It's one of my favorite books. I don't know if it's in print anymore. Anyway, Ostara, the Germanic name for spring's goddess, means movement towards the rising sun. Ostara was celebrated in the fourth month of the year, April, according to the British scribe Bede the Venerable. The Germanic name for spring's goddess means movement towards the rising sun. Ostara was celebrated in the fourth month of the year, April, according to the British scribe Bede the Venerable, writing in the 7th century current era. Over 1,000 years later, the Grimm brothers found that she was still honored in Germanic lands, where her name was used for the month, and they called it then in the old German Ostermonat. In Anglo-Saxon, her name became, and I don't know how to pronounce this, E-S-T-R-E, or E-A-S-T-R-E.
Easter, I should think.
Well, thank you. Which survives today in the festival of rebirth, Easter, and in the mood encouraged by springtime, Estrus. She was honored among the Germanic people with painted eggs, a tradition that survives today. Now I'd like to read a little bit more about the painted eggs. This is a little old piece of paper from USA Weekend. You know, when they used to have, like, the little inserts in local newspapers? I don't think this even exists anymore. But anyway, this is about Easter traditions by Kenneth C. Davis. Easter eggs. According to Anglo-Saxon myth, the goddess Ostara changed her favorite pet bird into a rabbit to amuse some children. The rabbits produced brightly colored eggs, which the goddess gave to the kids. Now it makes sense. Why did a bunny have eggs? This is why. It used to be a bird. In Germany, the tradition carried into Christian times with the tale of a Santa-like magical rabbit, Osterhaus, who leaves colored eggs for good children. Ostara's magical rabbit was not unique, as many peoples viewed rabbits as symbols of the ability to reproduce plentifully. But to be precise, the hare was the true symbol. Longer-eared than their rabbit relatives, young hares are born active, with eyes open, and many cultures revered them as fertility symbols. That's a little bit about Easter, Ostara, and the bunny who gives you eggs.
Well, thank you, Pickles of the North. It's probably about time for us to pitch a little bit here. And yes, WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And what we do is we get on the air and we beg you for money. And we don't have regular commercials, you will notice. You don't see us advertising for, I don't know, suppositories that make hair grow or whatever the hell that stuff is. You don't see us advertising various cars and trucks or stuff like that. What we do is we ask you to support us. And we do that by saying, please support us. Yes. And how do you do that? Well, and we're about to get to a part of the program with something new and exciting. What you do is you get up, you go to your phone, you dial 1-212-209-2950. Yes, we have a new phone number for the call center. It's a new call center. 1-212-209-2950. Don't call the old number. I don't know what the hell might be there. And you call them up at the call center and you tell them you want to donate. Now, you can become a BAI buddy. And a BAI buddy is the name of our sustaining membership where you donate on a monthly basis. And for a BAI buddy, if you tell them, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what you do then is you tell them how much you would like to donate each month. And it can be $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 a month. And you tell them you want to donate that much. And then you give them the information about either your credit card or your debit card, whichever one of those you want to use. And you tell them what day of the month you want your card charged for that. And bang, it becomes automatic. And so that will make you a sustaining member of WBAI. And again, tell them you want to do that in the name of Back of the Book. By doing so, you let management know we have listeners, which is important. Also, by April 7th, if you could become a member of BAI by April 7th, you can vote in something I can't mention. Yeah, I know. It's weird. And so, basically, in order to vote, the BAI buddy isn't going to be fast enough. And so what you're going to need to do is say you want to make a one-time donation, and the donation has to be $25 or more. $25 or more. And you're going to need a credit card or debit card for that too, because if you ask them to bill you, it ain't going to get to you. The bill won't get to you and get back to BAI before April 7th. April 7th is the magical day on which basically you have to be officially a member of WBAI in order to vote in the upcoming thing I can't talk about, which is very important, nevertheless. So that's what you can do. And you can donate a one-time donation of $25 or more, and bang, you're going to be a member. Again, 1-212-209-2950. That used to be our number years ago, and we've retained the number over the years. And so here we are using it again. 1-212-209-2950. Call them up. And if you want to vote, if you're not already a member and you want to vote in this election that is going to start out officially as of April 7th, tell them you want to donate $25 or more. You can donate however much you want, and tell them you want to do that in the name of Back of the Book, and they'll take your information. Or if you would like to be a BAI buddy and become a sustaining member, you can call up the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And so, yes, that's what you can do right there. And you can tell them how much you want to contribute every month. It could be $5, $10, $15, or $20 every month. And you can say, okay, let's go do that. 1-212-209-2950. I have to read it. I'm so used to the other number. Some years ago when I was pitching, I suddenly started pitching a number we hadn't used for about 25 years. So you got to be careful. We've been through a lot of these numbers over the years. I've been here for 39 years, so I've seen a lot of different phone numbers for the pledge line. And this is the new one, which is an old one. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. And we have a new call center because management has managed to get some training so that they're going to use new software for this stuff. Previously, what had happened was all of the information was in different places, and BAI buddies were in one place. People who donated a lump sum were in another place. Somebody who donated something else was in another place, and they were just like, I don't know, four or five different places where things were, and keeping track of who's a member is, you know, difficult that way. And so now they've consolidated it, and it's all in one place, and the place they're working with uses this particular call center, and that's why the number is now 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. And this has the advantage of, if you don't have long distance and if you only can really make local calls, this is a local call for New York City. 1-212-209-2950. Or if you only have regional calling, this is regional for you, probably. On the other hand, if you're one of our listeners who's listening in a very far away place, yeah, it's going to be long distance, but hey, the other number was long distance too. So if you're listening from some place that's far away, we still ask you to please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-212-209-2950. And you know, we bring you all sorts of programming. We have some science stuff set up for after this, and we talk about various different things, and we keep you informed on things, and we try to do our best to make some things at least somewhat understandable as much as we can. And so we do all this stuff, and we do this used to be Freeform Live Radio, now it's Freeform pre-recorded radio, I suppose. And I guess at some point we're going to be going back to the studio, maybe before the end of this year. I don't know. We'll have to see how that's going to work. I don't know that I want to go on the subways just yet. Oh boy, it's still full of crazy people doing things and hurting people. And, you know, they look for little old people, and that's what we are. The two of us are little old people, and we're going to look really vulnerable to somebody who wants to attack someone. So, oh well, I don't know that we're going to be the first people coming in to BAI when everybody else is let in. Now, we may decide to keep recording it for a little while longer. Anyway, also, we've become a weekly program. We didn't used to be. Now we're weekly. And it would be good if we could show management that you, the listeners, appreciate that. It would be good if we could show management that going weekly has gotten us more listeners. The real way by which they tell if we have more listeners is by you pledging. And you pledge by calling 1-212-209-2950. And when you get somebody on the line there, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can donate $10, $5, or $10, or $15, or $20 every month. And you can do that, and you give them your charge card or your debit card number, and they will do that on the day of the month you choose. So you'll be choosing how much you would like to donate to BAI on a monthly basis, and you'll be choosing what day of the month you want your card charged so that it's not inconvenient. 1-212-209-2950. Please, please, could you give us a call at that number right now? And also, again, if you want to be able to vote in the big important thing I can't mention yet, and won't be able to mention until, like, I don't know, June or July or something like that, call the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to make a one-time donation of $25 or more in the name of Back of the Book. Again, final one for this pitch, 1-212-209-2950. Please, please give them a call at that number now. And we thank you. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Well, New York State is going to get puffier. Yes, New York State has approved recreational marijuana. Marijuana is now legal to smoke all over the place in New York State. Okay, you know, I don't care if people use it. If people want to put it in their bodies, that's fine. I don't really care mostly. And I don't care if people use it, but I don't want to be forced to use it. And people stink of it now. A lot of this marijuana these days isn't the marijuana of the old days. Nowadays, marijuana stinks. And it's not a great odor. I suppose if it's getting you high, you get a conditioned reflex that stench is, oh, it stinks real bad, so I'm going to smoke it now and get really loaded. So I guess that's how it works. I don't see how people can stand to be anywhere near it now. Anyway, I'm wondering what it's going to be like after the pandemic is over and more people are wandering around smoking marijuana in public. And you don't see all that many people smoking regular cigarettes anymore because they've gotten the word, hey, that's bad for you. Of course, people who are smoking marijuana usually cling to the myth, oh, this doesn't hurt you. Well, it does. Marijuana, in fact, I've tried both. I tried smoking eons ago. Marijuana was worse because generally what you do is you're drawing more of it into your lungs and you're holding it there because you're trying to get loaded off of that stuff. And so marijuana, yeah, is going to have the same bad effect in your lungs as cigarette smoke does, as tobacco smoke does. And so, that's not going to be great stuff. I don't want to breathe any of that. And as I said, it stinks. And, of course, people are going to be loaded. More people will be loaded just walking around. And, you know, I don't like disinhibited drunks around me either. And disinhibited marijuana smokers are also probably going to be a pain in the ass. And so, I don't know. Now, again, I'm not against people using it. You want to use it, you go use it. Go seal yourself in a room and smoke the hell out of it. Kill your lungs. It's up to you. They're your lungs. Or a smarter alternative, get some edibles. There used to be a person at a radio station that I will not name who used to make cookies of a certain kind. They were called butter cookies. And the butter cookies had, a little minus delta 1 tetrahydrocannabinol in them. And yes, because the active ingredient in marijuana is not water soluble, it's fat soluble. So you can actually dissolve it in something like butter. We used to have Dr. Science on the air, our old pal, and he used to explain exactly how to do that. So there used to be tutorials on WBAI about how to take marijuana if you didn't want to destroy your lungs. And, you know, you grind it up and you put it in the melted butter and you heat it up for a while to get it. It's a whole thing. I don't remember all of it, because I never did it. And yes, a certain person somewhere did in fact do these kinds of things. And that, I think, was much safer. And it's better than smoking it. So, yeah, do some edibles. I'm sure butter cookies will come about. Unfortunately, neither the broadcaster who did tutorials on how to get marijuana ingredients in butter, he's no longer with us. Neither is the guy who was selling the butter cookies. So I don't know. I guess I'm sure that the people at BAI who are doing this stuff will have their own connections already. I don't think anybody at BAI is going to be wandering around in the streets looking for a new connection to give them marijuana. The people who want to do it, as far as I know, have been doing it for the past half century or more. So there you are. I'm not one of them. I've done it. And it was basically what happened was I would tend to get headaches after a while. Unpleasant. And so I would get headaches and it was anyway, and I don't need to get loaded anymore. I've given that up. And I said at one point, yeah, after the age of 40, it's not time to do that anymore. And I don't drink and I don't smoke anything or take other druggy stuff. God, I would test so clean when they test me. And I'm sure that when they do test me, I do test because I have to get surgeries now and again. And they test me and, oh boy, they say, hey, this guy lives a boring life, doesn't he? When they look at my test results. Anyway, yeah, again, disinhibited drunks are not my favorite people. And people who are loaded on marijuana and disinhibited are also going to be not my favorite people. They're not going to be. They haven't been. And now we're going to get a whole lot more of that. And the thing is, most of the time, you don't see drunks walking around in the street, you know, drinking, because that's illegal. Drinking in public is illegal. Smoking in public, in most places, is not. You can walk down a city street and smoke a cigarette, which means you can smoke a joint. And so you're going to get these guys on the street. I'm glad that in some places they prohibit smoking, period. And in those places where you're not allowed to smoke, you're not allowed to smoke anything. And that's good. But, you know, it's not smart to smoke anything. If you're going to do it, get an edible. If it costs a little bit more, think about the fact that your lungs will still be with you. And marijuana sales won't be legal in New York until at least 2022. So right now, the thing is, everybody's buying illegal marijuana and you can smoke it on the street. This doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense, does it? What does it mean? It means there are politicians who are blowing joints and they just wanted to stampede this in so they could get high too. And they don't really give a rat's zinger about, you know, it being legal in any way whatsoever. However, marijuana is still illegal under federal law. And workers whose jobs are regulated by the feds would still be fired if they test positive for the drug. This is police and various other people. Probably fire department and probably, MTA. MTA workers will not be able to do it. And in fact, I think the MTA union has come out and said, don't do this because we do random tests. And if you have an accident, we test you right there. And even if you went on vacation a couple of weeks earlier and did a joint then, if you're back in the job and you test positive, you're in trouble. And yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I know some people have said, well, you know, driving drunk and driving while loaded on marijuana, very, very different. And I don't know, I don't drive, so I can't tell. But I used to know a driver. We had a driver in the Republic of Vietnam who was never not loaded on that particular stuff. And so he was always loaded and he was a driver and he drove okay, I suppose, but he was a bit nuts. And so I don't know how he got away with that when he got back to the world, because in Vietnam, you could get away with a lot of stuff and people either looked the other way or were frightened they'd be murdered if they said anything. I'm talking about like officers and stuff, or they were doing it themselves. And coming back to the world, however, there are a lot more pricks in the army, and there are a lot of people who are going to want to be very army about things, you know. And so, yeah, I don't know how he fared after he got back to the world, Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, so it's going to be complicated. I'm not going to be enjoying the fact that there will be more and more people blowing joints around me and polluting the air around me, and also just being so loaded that, you know, they just might behave in ways that I'm not thrilled with. And that happens.
Ironically, in Canada, where it is legal throughout the entire country, we have a niece who's working in a dispensary, and it's one of the best jobs she's ever had. Her co-workers are very nice. She gets a good paycheck and apparently very pleasant customers. So interesting, much more so than when she worked sort of in a high-end store for women's shoes. And I think she worked in a t-shirt shop too. But so, I mean, it's just a job for her, which I totally understand, although her grandmother is not thrilled.
Well, you know, again. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about what you were saying about people driving. I don't think alcohol or marijuana enhances people's ability to do something as complicated as drive. I mean, that's yikes. You know, I think you're just lucky if you make it home if somebody is in an altered state while they're driving.
Yeah, I mean, because you are in an altered state, and you, who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, did those amphetamines that the Germans created to give to the soldiers when they were doing their, taking over of Europe, did that enhance their ability? It made them stay awake. It made them stay awake, but were they driving those jeeps and tanks with more precision, or did it not matter?
I think in general what methamphetamine hydrochloride and its relatives do is make you more aggressive in driving so that, you know, you're less liable to stop at a stop sign. You're more likely to blow through a red light. If you see the yellow is coming on, you're more likely to jam your foot down there and hit 150 to get through the intersection before the red light because you don't want to stop. For marijuana, it's more like, you know, distractions and, oh, look at that. And, you know, the driver looks out the window instead of the straight ahead. And so anyway, I guess we're going to find out more about this and we'll see how marijuana goes. Now, this does not relate to medical marijuana, of course, which is a completely different thing. And I support people, you know, being able to use marijuana to stop pain and stuff like that.
Oh, I think I used the wrong word. I was using dispensary to describe where our niece was working. She's just working in a bona fide store where you can go in and buy different things. It doesn't have to be for medical reasons anymore. So I guess that's evolved now. It's gone from being a dispensary to a store.
Okay. All right. So, we want to note, here's a note. We're preempted next week for a fundraising special. And, you know, the station needs to raise money, and they're going to see if they raise more money then than now. And the next program after this will be April 17th. We'll be here in 2 weeks. Gee, sort of like the old schedule. And researchers at the Australian National University say that they have discovered a new layer of the Earth. They say it's located within Earth's inner core. And for quite a while, geologists have considered that the Earth has four layers to it. There's the crust, where we live, and that's up to about, at most, 45 miles thick. Figure it's like 18 to 44 miles thick, something like that. And then there's the mantle, which is liquid rock. Think about lava coming out of a volcano. Lava coming out of a volcano comes from the mantle. That's what's in the mantle. And then you have the outer core of the Earth, and that's liquid iron, and that's below. You know, the crust is at the top, the mantle is under the crust, and the outer core is under the mantle. And the outer core is liquid iron. and it seems to be the source of the Earth's magnetic field. And then there's the inner core. The inner core is made up of solid iron alloy with a radius of about 760 miles. And it's iron with some nickel. Now, these scientists from the Australian National University are saying that the inner core is in two parts. This is new. They say that their work has revealed a distinct change in the structure of iron deep within the inner core at about 3,604 miles below the Earth's surface. So you're not going to get to it anytime soon. The radius of the Earth is only about 3,959 miles, and so this is pretty deep in there. The inner core is this solid iron alloy, and again, it's solid. It isn't liquid. What's above it is liquid iron alloy, but then it gets down deep enough, and it's solid. And it's solid because the pressure from almost 4,000 miles of stuff on top of it prevents it from liquefying. And the Australian National University scientists used a special search algorithm to compare thousands of models of the inner core with the decades and decades of data from seismographs on how long seismic waves take to travel through the Earth. And this data helped detect the changes in the structure of iron in the inner core. And these findings have helped confirm that the Earth's inner core has another layer. So we have five layers, not four layers. And okay, there's that. We saw a movie from, what was it, 1950 or 1952 about people drilling down into the Earth. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. And they were, what was it, something, Unknown World. It was called Unknown World. And I remember seeing this, a piece of this on TV. I think it was on The Late Show. And I was too young to watch it. My parents sent me to bed, so of course I really wanted to see it. And it's of its time. It was about people trying to find a place to live for all of humanity when we blew ourselves up with thermonuclear war. And so they're looking for places, and it's filmed at Carlsbad Caverns, and it has lots of interesting shots of Carlsbad Caverns, and the Earth has a lot of open spaces inside it in that movie, but not in real life. The only spaces at all in the Earth are in the crust, where we have caves and things. That's it. And the farther down you go in the crust, the less likely you are to find someplace where you have air or even water. And so deep down, deep in the crust, it's really pretty much just solid rock. And after that, you've got lava under that. Under that, you've got molten iron and nickel. And then you get to the inner core, which is now the two inner cores, which are solid iron under a pressure that is so tremendous that the iron can't even liquefy. And there's another movie that's coming out right now. It's a stupid movie. And basically it's King Kong and Godzilla having a fist fight. And they have a hollow Earth in that movie, apparently. I just read this. While I was researching this particular story, I found that, yeah, there's a hollow Earth idea for King Kong and Godzilla. It's pretty dopey. There are people who've believed in the hollow Earth for years and years, and oh boy, it is dopey stuff. In fact, this also buys into some conspiracy theories where, yes, the Earth is hollow, and governments know about it, but they won't let the rest of us know about it. And for whatever reason, I don't know. But yeah, hollow Earth. It isn't hollow.
So did those people think that Journey to the Center of the Earth was a travelogue?
They may have. They may have.
Now with more dinosaurs.
Yes. Yes, the dinosaurs went underground, and they're stamping around in there. And some of the various ideas, and there's been a hollow Earth idea for centuries and centuries, because long ago, people didn't understand how it would work, and they didn't understand the idea that if you have thousands of miles of stuff on top of something, it squeezes the air out. And so they didn't figure it out. But yeah, there are people who have put forth the hollow earth hypothesis again and again. It's always been completely disproven because, well, since seismography has come about, you can trace seismic waves going through the earth. And if there were a discontinuity in there, it would show up. In fact, there are discontinuities, which shows us the now five layers of the earth. So there you go. You got five layers of the earth, and you're not going to go down very far into it, I guarantee you. In some crappy news, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson has signed into law a bill that allows doctors to refuse treatment to anyone because of religious or moral objections. This is being seen as an attack on LGBTQ plus infinity people, and the Human Rights Campaign and the American Civil Liberties Union are pointing out that it's clearly something to allow doctors who have a fundamentalist bent to discriminate against gay and lesbian, etc. people. Holly Dixon, executive director of the ACLU of Arkansas, has reportedly said that the legislation is just another, quote, brazen attempt to make it easier to discriminate against people and deny Arkansans the health care services they need, unquote. And she also said, quote, religious liberty is a fundamental right, but it is not an excuse to discriminate against people or deny them health care, unquote. Yeah, I mean, this is a part of this whole right-wing thing. They want to end up with a theocracy. And, oh boy, that's a bad idea. You know, you have a theocracy and people have differences. Can they look at, like, Europe a couple, you know, hundreds of years ago? They had nothing but Christians. And they murdered each other wholesale because, hey, let's commit murder over the Trinity. Let's commit murder over virgin birth. And, you know, the various doctrines of the Christian churches, plural, people said, no, we don't believe in that, but we believe in this. And so they killed each other. You know, if these right-wing people like Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson get their way and end up with turning America into a theocracy, they're going to have, you know, nuclear war in America over whether or not the Trinity is real. Oh, God. The Holy Ghost will wreak revenge. And in a unanimous decision, the Nebraska Supreme Court has ruled that a same-gender married couple is legally allowed to adopt a child. The court decision overturned a lower court ruling that had denied two women the right to adopt the 3-year-old girl who had lived with them since she was born. A lower court ruling by Dixon County Judge Douglas Lube had denied the same-gender couple's petition to adopt a child. According to the Omaha World Herald, Judge Lube, who described himself as, quote, old-fashioned, unquote, said that the, quote, plain ordinary language, unquote, adoption law in Nebraska didn't permit a wife and a wife to adopt. Any other conclusion would turn the court into an imagination station, he said. The Nebraska Supreme Court ruled that the plain language of the state law does permit, quote, a same-sex married couple to adopt a minor child, unquote. And a California woman named Sonia Tabizada, who had threatened to bomb an all-girls Catholic school in Washington, D.C., over a decision to print same-gender marriage announcements in its alumni magazine, was sentenced to 15 months in prison, which she has already served. Ms. Tabizada is not a graduate of the school. In voicemails left at the school, Ms. Tabizada said that she was going to burn and bomb the church and, quote, bleeping kill your kids, unquote, according to the Justice Department. Besides the 15 months in federal prison, Ms. Tabizada is also sentenced to 2 years of supervised release with special conditions. And we also want to mention there's this voter suppression stuff going on. This is terrible. This is awful stuff. And, oh boy, what are we going to see the Supreme Court do? This is all going to go to court. And is the Supreme Court going to just back up Trump and his pals? And will they cement in this terrible stuff? I mean, on the one hand, we've got our interesting structure of the Electoral College and all of that and gerrymandering. And on the other hand, can they also then get engaged in serious voter suppression? Will the Supreme Court allow that? Hey, then at that point, you're going to have very, very few people having a real voice in this country. And Jesus Christ, between things like gerrymandering and the Electoral College and stuff like that, is America going to break apart because of the old structure put in place in the 18th century? I mean, it's looking right now like maybe, hey, that was something that lasted for a while, but then things changed and it's no longer workable. Are we going to need to have a new United States of America? I have to wonder about this. All right, very fast, if you would like to contribute, we would like to have you contribute. You can call the call center at 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI Buddy. BAI Buddy is a sustaining membership, and you can tell them you want to donate whatever you want. It could be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever. You can do all of that. And you call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI Buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Or call in a lump sum donation of $25 or more and you will be able to vote. But you got to do that before April 7th. 1-212-209-2950. Note our new number. Call that number now and say you want to become a BAI Buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Oh, there's Mr. Outro Music. All right, that has been Back of the Book for this week. In fact, it's been Back of the Book for a fortnight. Again, we are preempted next week, and so our next program will be on Saturday morning, April 17th at 5 a.m., and we'll be back here then and doing all sorts of who knows what things. And we'll be off, of course, as I said, next week for a big special that they're going to put on. It's going to pitch and make money, I suppose. And so we'll be back here in 2 weeks. Coming up next is a special, not Ralph Nader. Coming up next is a special at 7 o'clock. However, you can still hear Jim Freund with his program Hour of the Wolf, with all sorts of science fiction stuff going on with it. All right, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. If you contributed, if you called 1-212-209-2950 and contributed some amount of money, thanks a hell of a lot for doing that. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Weather's getting nicer. Look out the window and see the flowers and leaves coming on. And above all, remember what that concerned about having to hold his breath as he walks through the street Dormouse said.
Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time. Very few people stepped up. Yes, Like It Is was there. WBAI was there, and a few others. Majority of those stations that let people like myself speak and tell them what was going on the other side, those stations are gone. If we lose WBAI, where do we go to get our words out? Where do we go if you've been arrested unjustly? Where do you go if someone's taken your children unfairly? Where do you go to seek justice? We must keep this station alive. Yeah. Alive. WBAI. No
justice. This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Hi, this is Jesse Eisenberg. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and on the web at WBAI.org.